This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Most Fridays at 3 p.m., we have our buddy Alvin Reed, who you know from Donnybrook and The American, and the guys are laughing at me. First of all, okay, do you all remember when you were a kid and your parents would have someone over, and you were on the couch kind of dozing off, and you'd hear your parents talking and laughing and how cozy that was? That's how it was just for me. 2 minutes ago. So I'm sitting there on my phone listening to Wheeler and Reed talk about covering the spread on the Miami game and blah, 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 blah. And while they were doing that, I was buying a dozen game-used MLB baseballs. And I tell the guys, and Alvin correctly asked, why? And I'm like, so I can play catch with my friends? I don't think I impressed anybody.
Well, but, all right. Long before I had ever been on a golf course, okay? You know, when you came across a golf ball, like at the playground or something like that,
yeah,
I thought golf balls are really cool.
Yeah.
And so I, even if I didn't play golf, I think now at some point I would have just bought like a flight of 12 golf balls just because I still think golf
balls are cool.
Like,
yeah.
So what you gonna do with it? I just would have them in the house, I guess.
So if you picture, Andrew's the only one who's been to my mom's house, but if you picture a house looking south, and there's about a 200-acre field, and then there's like an L, there are people over there, and this guy would go out when it was plowed, and he would hit golf balls, and then he would go back in his house, get that little grabber, go out and pick him up. My friends and I would be hiding behind trees with coffee cans, and we'd run out there, and we'd take all of them we could get, like an Easter egg hunt, little hooligans, and then that guy'd go out there and search for no balls.
Did he ever figure out what was going on?
No, he never did. Or if he did, he was cool and he didn't say anything.
I think that may have been it.
That could have been it.
Right.
Yeah. But until pretty recently, I had a couple of coffee can full of those balls from as a kid.
My sister-in-law, Carmen's sister, lived in did it down by Fort Hood, Denine, whatever, Texas. She lived on a golf course. And one year she said, like, tell her I'm going to have a bunch of golf balls for him. And I wasn't going down there that summer, but my wife went. And I said, like, she said, you know, Brenda's got golf balls for you. And I said, like, fine, just bring them back.
Yeah.
She brought back like 100 golf balls. And I learned like golf etiquette. Yeah. Like, you know, like if you break something, you're supposed to go to the house and say, like, hey, I broke something, you know, whatever. And if you hit them in a private like yard, you're not supposed to go get it.
Didn't know that.
Like, oh, yeah. She said, yeah, there's some days there's like 12 golf balls out there.
Wow.
And they were all, you know, Titleist, this, that, whatever. And I said, Brenda, I wish you lived like on the fourth hole, maybe, instead of the 12th, because some of them are right.
By that time. Maybe one reason I'm buying 12 MLB baseballs is because as a kid, I said this with Ricky Horton earlier, but it's the truth. You got maybe 2 baseballs a summer, and you just had to make do.
Yes.
And they were grass stained, and they were waterlogged, and all this stuff. And the golf balls, I didn't play with a real new golf ball for years. We called them Smilers.
Yeah.
The ones that had a little cut in them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and I don't know if they stopped them now, but at Forest Park, people would go out there in the water and get them. And I'd be walking around with a bag. So like, hey, I got a bag of balls for $5. And it'd be like 20 balls.
Yeah.
4 of them would be waterlogged.
Yeah.
3 nicks and cuts.
Yeah.
The rest of them would be just shiny and new. Like, man, they hit that in the water. Like, they had only hit this ball like 3 or 4 times. So it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't going to wait out there and get balls. I mean, but yeah, it was still like, oh, what a bug.
Yeah. Would you, because you're an athlete, and obviously you're an athlete.
He's an athlete. I had a uniform. I ran around.
Knowing what you know now, would you keep it the way it was? Or, for example, Alvin, maybe you go, I'm going to play golf every day, and I probably won't go pro, but I bet you I can go to college. Or would you just do what you did as a kid and just play everything?
I think because we played everything, I wouldn't change that because I think that was influential in my life and success because of a team sport and knowing people and the rules of getting over the defeats and stuff like that. However, I have thought about that. That I said, like, if I'm averagely bad at golf, and I had, and there would have been an opportunity to play golf, how good a golfer would I have been? Right. And once I got to college and learned about Evan Scholars and all that kind of stuff, and I saw some of the kids that were on the golf team, I, you know, now looking back, I said, like, I could have done that. I mean, I'm not saying I would have ever won any tournament we were in, but looking back, I said, I could have done that. I mean, I played enough tennis that sometimes I hit with guys on the tennis team,
yeah,
and I can hang with them. And I said, like, man, I played, like, and when I say serious tennis, I'm just saying, like, between the ages of 12 and, like, 15, 16, I used to play all the time.
Yeah,
same. And I still had that ability to play with some guys that were, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
And they said, like, hey, you know, you had learned how to, like, serve better. Yeah. I said, like, well, I mean, I was 15 when I put the racket down.
One of my favorite memories in the last 10 years, oh, gosh. Who's my boy? I'm totally blanking. Used to be on 97.1, tennis player.
Oh, Crane.
Crane
Durham.
Yeah. Crane gave Phoebe lessons for years. Mm-hmm. And after 3 or 4 years of lessons, we were at the indoor place where he gave lessons. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing jeans and driving moccasins. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, Dad, why don't you come out here and play with me? Mm-hmm. And we rallied, and I beat him. And then I just dropped my racket. And that's the most Phoebe has ever been impressed with me. 100%. Radio, couldn't care less. Playing a band, whatever. The fact that I was able to hang with her instructor, like, but same thing. Tennis is probably the sport I enjoyed the most that I never really played. Like, I didn't play in high school or anything like that. I just played on the courts.
Me too, right.
But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a great game.
I got my niece Raphael. Now, she's been the one that has gone up in the attic and pulled out all kinds of stuff. She's found family kind of heirlooms and stuff like that at my mom's house and whatnot. Now, my girls knew that I played some baseball. She found a picture, I think, my sophomore year. Okay? Like, the team picture. And it was, like, last Christmas. And I said, like, Dad, you really did play baseball. And I was like, what did you saw? Just making this up.
Making it up.
Okay, well, great. Here's viable proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you wish you would have focused more on? I mean, just anything. It could be math. It could be being popular. It could be being on student council.
If I had decided that I truly, truly was going to play baseball and lifted weights and did stuff, but baseball, I loved baseball. I loved playing baseball, but I played baseball in the spring.
Yeah.
And when it was over, it was over. And then once I had stopped playing football, and I just was like, look, I'm loved doing theater. I loved hanging out.
I didn't know you
going
did
on
theater.
Dates, girls. Yeah, I did lots of plays. I did all the plays at Nerick's Hall. Man.
I didn't have the guts. I was already a dork, but I was afraid of being an even bigger dork.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't do theater, even though I really wanted to. And then my senior year, they put on Grease, and all the athletes were in it. And I was like, damn it. Like, I could have, I just didn't have the guts.
I think that's why I said, like, hey, there's some things, like, especially boys, should do, okay? And that's one of them. Mm-hmm. Because if you can learn your lines, get up there on stage and do that, you're just not afraid of any meeting or any situation.
Amen.
You know, like, and they tell you, right, to say, like, hey, look, man, them people out there, they don't know the lines. Keep going. Like, if somebody, like, you learn how to, and it was a good skill. I love doing it, you know? And I put it this way. I didn't sing well enough to be on Broadway, but... Mm-hmm. You know, now that was one that I was going to do some theater at the University of Kansas, and I got the job with the football team.
Oh,
and I wouldn't trade anything for working for the football team. But the idea was that I was going to do theater, and that, like, for the next 4 years, I was busy.
Do you still, like, you're going to go to the game tomorrow against West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Do you still get any sort of preferential treatment from the football team?
Tell you what, I'm a member of the K-Club, and I'm on the board there, and, like, somewhat of that. But I was just telling my podcast partner today, said, like, hey, yeah. And for those of you out there whose team, like, went into just sucked them, and then all of a sudden got it turned around, and maybe they refurbished the stadium. Oh, yeah. How many tickets you need, Alvin, for the game this weekend? Four, whatever. Yeah. Now, hey, man, best we can do is get you a discount ticket. Oh. Right. And like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm glad the program
good
is
news, bad news.
Looking up. But, oh, yeah, all that. Hey, man, just if you get over here, we got tickets for you.
How about you at Miami? Could you go back and walk onto a practice and say, I'm Kevin Wheeler, I played in 95?
I'd probably text a couple of guys, but the guy that's the head coach was a guy that was a freshman when I was a senior.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I can, I mean, I have some access that, you know, others don't. But at the same time, I mean, I know, like, there ain't no suite with my name on it or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to be, lay the groundwork, be like, hey, remember me, buddy? Because I haven't talked to the guy in, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. 25 I just years, heard this story years. Today on the radio. Jackson Dart had met Eli Manning. And Eli Manning told him, said, like, hey, if there's anything I can help you with, be it, you know, I'm thinking, like, if you're looking for where you want to live at in the area, or, hey, you're having trouble maybe reading this defense or something like that. So he said, one day.
Couple Ole Miss guys.
Yeah. And so he said, you know, one day my phone rang, and I looked, and he said, oh, it's Jackson Dart. Okay. I wonder what he was. I said, hey, Jackson, how can I help you? And he says, like, hey, Eli, you know, he said, call if I need anything. He said, like, can you get me a reservation for, like, one of the most exclusive restaurants in New York at 6:30 tonight?
Wow.
And Eli was saying, he laughed it off, but he was saying, like, you know, this young man kind of still doesn't understand
right.
that even me,
yeah.
Joe New York, two-time Super Bowl winner, can't call the fanciest restaurant in New York.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, I need a place for Jackson Dart and a couple other people tonight at 6:30. So, yeah, I can't just call the athletic director and say, you know. Now, when KU played SLU in soccer last year in the NCAA tournament, he was over here, and I, you know, went up and talked to him and said, like, hey, you know, well, St. Louis, you know, I'm the St. Louis guy in the K-Club bar and all that. Yeah, he said, they tell me, it's like, you're everywhere. Because I go to the bowl games, too, and whatnot. So I do think that if I ever, like, really leaned on the shield, I could get a little something done, but I don't. I bought my own ticket. I'm driving over there. I'm going to the game because I want to be there. I want to see the West Virginia game.
You spending the night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't do that drive no more, man.
You're paying $500. You're staying at the old Motel 6.
No, I'm staying at, the Royal Sonesta in Overland Park for
okay.
$108
because
I'm a Priceline VIP, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you do enough, and all of a sudden you got, oh, man, I got 50,000 points.
It's when Nick and I went, I forget what we went for, but probably during a football game. But we paid almost $500 bucks for the Motel 6.
Yeah.
The one right there when you come into town, and it is janky. It's just janky as you think.
I know it is. Oh, one time I was headed from Arkansas to D.C., and I had to something was going on in Knoxville, but it's middle. This was like early summer, and we stayed at like a Holiday Inn in Knoxville. And if you ever look on the door where the placard is and say what the regular rate for the room was,
yeah,
this was 20 years ago. Dave, it was $600.
Oh my goodness,
this was 20 years ago. Okay, so if you're going to go to a Tennessee game and you're going to stay like in a nice hotel,
yeah,
in close proximity to the stadium, I bet you it's $1,000 a night.
You know, the big thing now, Wheels, is that if your kid goes somewhere very popular, like Ole Miss or something like that, and if you have a couple nickels, people are buying condos.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
To use to stay.
Yeah.
And then sometimes keeping them and just renting them out and making a fortune.
Yes. Yeah. And in a college town, you could definitely do that. And I'm going to buy that $30,000 condo over there in the ghetto that Rachel was talking about.
Yeah. Man,
I'm not, but I'd still mulling that over, like,
right.
Man, I don't want to pay tax on it, but
right.
Good God.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, like, that'd be one day they'll either tear the building down or it'll be worth something.
Here you go.
Either way.
All right. We talked about nothing real, but this was fun.
Oh, man. There's been so much real stuff going on. I'm tired of it, man.
I
could use a couple of conversations
all
like
right, buddy.
This. All right, man.
Have a good time at the game.
All right.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday, 325. Dave Murray will join us in a bit. I believe he's going to let us know that the weather's about to break. That's sweet.
Yay. I mean, it kind of has broken already.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, it's much better. But I think, like, next week is down in the 70s.
Whoa. So,
yeah. Kidner of Philadelphia is in the news because he's got some serious smarts. 9-year-old Aiden Wilkins has skipped so many grades. He's already a sophomore in high school. He started taking neuroscience classes at a local college, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about this kid. I mean, I care about him. But my question is, it makes me mad when these things happen because I'm sure he's a very bright kid, but it pisses me off when you just pick out one kid and you go, you're going to college at the age of 7. Like, how about we focus less on this genius and focus more on the really smart kids? Does that make sense? Like, maybe there are 5 kids in your class that if they got enough attention and resources, they would be, they're in 5th grade, but they're at a 9th grade level. You feel me? Mm-hmm. As opposed to just picking out generational talent and bragging that they're at Harvard when they're 10 years old.
I agree with the premise. The only thing I don't know is all that happening systematically, or is that happening because mom and dad are making it happen?
I'm going to go strongly mom and dad.
Yeah.
Strongly mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But more parents should be better advocates for their kids. I don't know that in my schooling, and no one was, you know, picking me out as a genius or anything, but I just don't remember many opportunities to shine. And maybe I just didn't shine, and that's why I don't remember them.
No, it's a fair point. I think the hard part to me with all of that is you're a human being that has two parts. You have the intellectual side, and then you have your just social development side. How is it good for a 9-year-old to be at that level?
Yeah.
From a social standpoint, you're a complete loner. Nobody around you is your age. Nobody around you has your interest. I'm not saying you don't push kids. Of course you do. And you feed them more of what they love and more of what they're good at. But I would be really careful about pushing that, not because they can't handle the academics, but because you're really isolated in that way. Mm-hmm. You don't go to school with kids your age. You don't spend time with kids your age. I'd be pretty careful about that.
Yeah.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. Every day at 3:35. Dave Murray joins us. He's with us today. Back on the camera. Good to see you, Dave.
Back on the camera. I just needed to reboot my computer, but when I realized it yesterday, it was too late.
Isn't it amazing? Like, the only, and I mean the only thing I know about anything tech is unplug it and plug it back in. But it works almost every time.
Almost every time. And this thing that I use, my computer is really old. In fact, it's the computer my son used when he was in college.
Yeah, that's old.
And he's 42 now.
Yes, yes.
But it still works.
Still does
it
your does stuff.
What, does for most of the time. It does what I need it to do.
Yeah. Can I share a couple of victories? I told the story earlier in the week of going to the game and meeting a guy and his son from Iowa and a couple from Cincinnati. And I told them both, email me. I told them who I was. And next time you come back in town, I will take you down on the field, take you up to the KMOX booth. And I heard from them, and we're going to hook that up. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's great.
I love that. Yeah. And then I was sharing with the guys at a victory last night. Phoebe texted me, and she's going out with her girlies. And so I... door dashed a dozen brownies, a dozen cookies, and a caramel apple pie to their house so that when they came stumbling home, that was there. That was a victory.
Yeah.
That's a win.
We're all wheels, and Andrew and I are kind of thinking, when do we get that?
Yeah. I would
text
love
me
to.
You're going out clubbing and I'll send it to you.
All right. We're all going out clubbing.
I'd love to come home to a nice
warm caramel apple pie.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Speaking of warm, is it changing?
Yeah, the pattern has broken. I've got a couple of really isolated thunderstorms around. There's nothing within the metro St. Louis. And I just don't see a heck of a lot going on. But we have a chance of a couple of showers, a couple of thunderstorms overnight tonight. Main feature will be some gusty winds if you got caught under one. Most of us will not. Evening temperatures around 80. That's not too bad. 65 for the low. Now, with this pattern breakdown, it's a weird, funky pattern that we're going into for several days. Mm-hmm. It's centered on what we call a cutoff low. It's out of the flow. It just likes to drift around. Now, cutoff lows are notorious for almost impossible to time when some rain might be coming our way, but it is. The good news is I think this low is going to settle to our north, well to our north, instead of over us. If it was over us, it's a whole different thing. But because it's to our north, it's going to send these little waves of rain and thunderstorms our way in the northwest flow. Impossible to time until it almost happens. So like 24 hours, maybe even 18 hours. So you're going to see a lot of unsettledness in my forecast. Not so much tomorrow, partly sunny, couple of spot thunderstorms. I think that's about it, a lot of dry time. Tomorrow's a warm day, 88 degrees, some showers and thunderstorms around Saturday night. I want to focus on late night, Saturday night, 68. Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy, a couple of showers and thunderstorms around 83. Periods of rain and thunderstorms Sunday night. I think that's almost a consistent rain the way it's looking right now. Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. And yes, there'll be some showers and thunderstorms around in 81. It's not a summertime weather pattern, but it's an unsettled weather pattern.
Okay.
That's what I got for you. That probably continues Tuesday and Wednesday and next week.
Okay. I'm ready for some of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You I'm glad I could help.
Shot at headlines?
Sure. Let me find. I got a million things printed out over here.
The way you respond to that every time.
That's right.
Is just
oh, headlines? What?
Well, I suppose if you want to. It's like I said, hey, you got a squirrel in your butt? He's like, maybe.
I don't know.
I guess I could get one if you need me to. So, national park visitors may see changes soon due to President Trump's executive order to restore truth and sanity to American history, removing books, exhibits, and markers about slavery. In Charleston, the history of slavery is prominent, with sites like Fort Sumter and Fort Moultrie playing significant roles in the Civil War. Books about slavery, including a children's book titled Shackles, have been flagged for removal from national parks in South Carolina. Concerns have been raised by many about the lack of transparency in the process and the potential erasure of important historical narratives.
Yeah, there are many photos of slaves with scars in their back, but there's one that most of you think of when you think of that. It's very famous, and they've taken that away. It's at a public on display at a public park. They took that down for the same reasons.
What's the upside to that? What are we trying to do?
I'm paraphrasing, but this comes from things I've heard from President Trump himself. He thinks that the Smithsonian and many of the national parks give a slanted view of our history, far too negative. And he thinks that the focus on slavery is far too negative, which someone like me goes, yeah, it was pretty negative.
That's pretty negative.
Pretty negative. Not a lot of positives there.
That's because it was not a good thing to have happened. Yeah, don't see a lot of difference between that and like...
If your whole thing is like, we're going to make history nicer by pretending bad things didn't happen, that makes you dumb.
Well, yeah, it's like tearing down, you know, the Ground Zero 9/11 Memorial because it's a big bummer. A lot of people died. It was very sad. Yeah, it was a tough thing that happened that we had to overcome as a nation. Anyway.
Well, also, the other part of it is that for a really long time, we didn't acknowledge it and didn't talk about it and pretended it wasn't that big of a thing. So then that has been corrected over time. And, okay, so now maybe we just leave it alone? I don't get the purpose. I don't understand the whole, hey, yeah, let's not talk so much about all those terrible things that our ancestors did.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you just don't want to face it.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah. A mother testified before Congress that her son took his own life after an AI chatbot encouraged him to harm himself. We talked about this a couple of months ago. She claims the chatbot mimicked his favorite Game of Thrones character and engaged in harmful behavior. The mother is suing Google and character.ai now, alleging that tech companies exploit young users' vulnerabilities to build AI platforms. Experts warn that AI chatbots can harm teens' social development and mental health by encouraging excessive screen time and undermining real-world relationships. OpenAI has promised new safeguards for teens in response to these concerns, but, I mean, we shall see what those would materialize into because I don't really know how
they should be sued into oblivion. How are these guardrails not there from the beginning? How do you not have it set so it cannot tell someone they should kill themselves? You control the algorithm. You control what goes in there. And you just let it loose?
Yeah, didn't occur to them.
I'm sorry. How many years have we been talking about AI? And every year we're talking about we can't just trust these companies to do the right thing because you can't. Why do we have laws about everything? Because you can't trust big groups of people who have large amounts of money on the line. How could you not have it built in? I'm not talking about super advanced AI that is not available to the public, that they're still... I'm talking about what you make available to the public should not be able to help someone harm themselves.
Agreed.
It's just the most basic thing in the world.
Yeah.
All right, it's
not boy, you and your controversial headlines. It's never like this with Rachel.
No, it's always fun.
Well, we've been avoiding it all week, but it's time to talk about the big drama that we've been sweeping under the rug. During the United States President Donald Trump's state visit to Windsor Castle, Princess Kate Middleton did not curtsy to him.
Oh.
As it is not a formal requirement.
Okay.
What are the rules?
Kate and her husband, Prince William, greeted the Trumps before meeting King Charles III and Queen Camilla. While there are no obligatory codes of behavior for meeting the royal family, Kate often curtsies to Charles as the reigning monarch. The Trumps and the royals exchanged greetings. Melania and Kate both dressed elegantly for the occasion.
Did you guys see that the first night he was there, people got into the hotel across from Windsor Castle, which who knew there was a hotel across from Windsor Castle?
Right.
And they projected images of Trump and Epstein on the castle.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It only took them like 20 minutes to catch them and shut them down, but...
That's a lot.
That's the Windsor Holiday Inn, I believe.
Yes.
best way western.
Come to the Aquanome.
Best of far western. A guest at Universal's Epic Universe Amusement Park, which is the new one that they've recently opened to sort of accompany Universal Studios, died after riding the Stardust Racers roller coaster.
Yeah, did we hear like a heart attack or?
The man in his 30s became unresponsive during the ride and was pronounced dead at a local hospital. The cause of death is unknown and the incident's under investigation. A lot of people are theorizing that he actually died on the ride, not at the hospital. And this is just kind of what
now. What I've heard is that a piece of a seat blew off and he died from an impact.
Oh my goodness.
That's, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
See, this is how different people are. Like, even if I am guaranteed I'm going to be safe on a roller coaster, the quote unquote fun I'm going to have is not anywhere near worth the, what's the word I'm looking for? Terror?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't translate to me.
Well, Disney and, like, Universal would be just about the only two roller coasters I would ride because I would convince myself that these are locked
top
in.
Top of the line.
Top of the line. These are, you know, big budget enough companies that I wouldn't have to worry about.
I saw a TikTok of a guy that owns a middling amusement park, and he has about a 30-year-old sort of mine train roller coaster there, wood and metal. And he goes through every day. It takes him an hour and a half every day to go through and, like, tighten bolts.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that.
I mean, it's great that he does it, but, you know.
Don't say that to me.
Those rides are my life. I love them so much.
More ways than one.
Wheels. I know. I've never been on
those
one
rides
when a
are
bad
my life
thing
and
happened.
Also my death.
I've never seen a bad thing happen, and I know that they do, but I'm going.
A U.S. district judge ordered Google to share its search index and user data with competitors to level the playing field in the search engine market. That seems like kind of a huge deal. Concerns arise about user privacy as third parties may access sensitive information. The ruling aims to help competitors build better search engines, but raises questions about data security and control. A technical oversight committee will determine which companies qualify for the data and establish those safeguards. And Google is going to appeal the decision for antitrust reasons. But
I didn't hear a word you said because I was focusing on Dave coughing.
I'm coughing.
I'm wondering if we should.
There we go.
Didn't know.
Right,
what to
do. Right now.
Sorry, Andrew.
Right now, Mitch is beside himself at Mizzou.
Mitch is sobbing. Mitch is crying, freaking out. He's getting on a plane. He will be there as fast as he can.
I was so excited about headlines.
Yeah.
But no, so this is actually kind of a big deal. Google being forced to share
moments
user
passed.
Data.
The moment's passed.
Okay.
No one listened. No one listened.
I was going to. Okay.
Yeah. No resurrecting it.
Okay, let's see what else we got here.
No, that's okay. We're late.
Okay.
We're fine.
Dave, right. Mitch says he'll help you.
Yes. You've always got Mitch, Dave.
I know. That's Dave. Great.
All right, man.
Next time you and Janice get into a fight, you can say, like, look, I'm not going to say who, but I've got someone pretty interested in me back in St. Louis. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. Dondra says, Dave, can you identify the stain on your shirt? Yes, hold on. That is the number 24.
And it fell off.
It fell off when I washed it. And on the back, there's a big 24 in a guy's name. So when I laundered it, all that went away.
Well.
Which makes me like it even better.
Really?
Yeah. I like screwed up things.
Makes it. I switched things.
Yeah.
Feels lived in.
It does. If you're going to buy used clothes on eBay, you want them to be used.
Might as well.
I guess.
Yeah.
Have evidence to prove it, right?
And someone earlier, I think Joel, asked if I bought my 12 MLB used baseballs on eBay. I did. $85. I don't know if that's a good price or a bad price. I just felt like I needed a dozen baseballs.
Dozen baseballs for how much?
$85.
So that's like $650 a ball?
That's pretty good.
It's not the end of the world.
No. I feel okay. Fine.
You didn't get ripped off.
Okay.
What would a ripoff be?
I don't know. 86. A lot more than that.
$86, $87,
$20 a ball, $25 a ball. If they're just rando game used balls that doesn't they weren't historic or anyway, yeah. then they shouldn't be more than that.
I mean, then they're just balls.
Yes,
good balls.
Yeah, baseballs.
We can just keep going.
Or any other kind, really.
We have the finalist for the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Ooh, every year.
Battleship Catan, which I've never heard of. Is that a video game?
No, it's a board game.
Okay, I've never heard of it. Trivial Pursuit, Connect Four, Cornhole, Furbies, The Scooter, Slime, Snow, Spirograph, A Star Wars Lightsaber, and Tickle Me Elmo.
Furby and Tickle Me Elmo got to be in there, for sure. Those are crazes.
I wonder if those are first ballot.
I don't know. But
you'd think they'd have been on there before.
Yeah, especially Tickle Me Elmo. I mean, that was like the biggest thing for a couple of years.
You're going to say something crappy, I can tell.
I was going to, but I'm going to hold back.
All right.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.